fish, heads, roly-poly fish, heads, fish, heads, fish, heads, eat them up, yum. Fish, heads, fish, heads, roly-poly fish, heads, fish, heads, fish, heads, eat them up, yum.
In the morning. Woo! We are back. Catch it, cook it, and eat it. And I just rolled up in a checkered cab from the 1950s with famous Fat Dave. We just did the most insane culinary fish tour of the, how many boroughs did we hit?
We actually only hit two today, but hopefully we'll hit two more another day.
Of the 10 boroughs. Dude, it was insane. Let me introduce famous Fat Dave. Dave is a friend of mine. He takes people in his beautiful, what is it? It's a, what kind of cab is it?
Well, it's a checkered cab. Checker is checker. It's not
it's own company.
Chevy. It was an independent, like a Tucker.
Okay. It's huge. It's the biggest boat you've ever seen. Smoothest ride you've ever been on. And Dave brings you to the most unbelievable, out of the way, underground, some are very above ground, but best sort of local joints that he knows in the city. And I came to Dave and I said, dude, what do you think about a fish tour? And I'm kind of feeling like I've exhausted the whole fish thing in New York City. And he's like, dude, you have no idea. We're going to go to Queens. We're going to go to Flushing. We're going to go to, where do we go? We hit the
City
Bronx,
Island.
City Island.
Yep.
Insane.
Arthur Ave.
Insane.
Yep. Today we only hit four spots, but I feel like if we do it again, we could do, you know, another 50.
And that was only in the span of like 2.5 hours that we covered all that ground.
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
awesome. How did you, first start doing this?
Oh, well, how did I first start
the
tour?
The tours, yeah.
Well, basically, I'm a yellow cab driver. I drive a real yellow cab. Like when you see out there, you know, those, 11, 12,000 yellow cabs, I'm one of them.
Okay.
So I have my hack license and I drive around and basically I just talk to everybody out there about food. You know, we talk about life. And
so as you're driving the yellow cab.
Right. They tell me, I'm going to take me to Bushwick. I'm going to Bushwick and Flushing.
Right.
On the way out there, we're going to talk about it. We might start off talking about food, or we might end up talking about food, but we're going to talk about food at some point, you know?
Sure.
Talk about life and love and sex and death and food. After only a year or two of doing that, I'd start at the end of 01. I got a pretty good list of awesome places to eat because people will tell me, you know, the best places to eat in their neighborhoods.
Right, right.
The little neighborhood joints, the secret places, the underground places, like you've got.
One day Dave appeared on my front doorstep. I was like, I know you. You're famous Fat Dave. I've seen you.
Yeah. So I mean, that's basically it. I drive the yellow cab. I still have my hack license, but I don't do it. I like driving my checker now.
Has this taken over?
The checker's taken over. Yeah. I still have my hack license and I still do it just for, you know, just to keep my thumb on the pulse every once in a while.
Well, dude, but you are on the pulse, I have to say.
So when you said seafood tour, you said a fish tour, you know, I got a dozen spots. I got dozens of spots. Yeah. Overall, I have hundreds of different places I take people.
Right.
So
what, walk us through some of your favorites.
Well, in general, I have
not fish places.
I do Dave's faves. That's one. That's usually the most popular one because people don't want to, you know, limit themselves usually. For our purposes
today.
You're like
Guy Fury. You're starting to rhyme.
I rhyme everything. Well, I like to make things ridiculously long-winded. Like the name of my business is Famous Fat Dave's Five Borough Eating Tour on the Wheels of Steel.
Which tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay. Some of my favorite places, I got, you know, Spumoni Gardens out in Bensonhurst. Mm-hmm. Thick Slice Pizza and Spumoni. That's a classic. And some of the less out of the way places, you know, Cat's Deli.
Roberta's is not on your tour yet, is it?
I have not been to Roberta's
yet. You're about to sample some pizza.
I do the pizza tour. That's one thing I do. And at the moment I walked into this place, I was like, oh my gosh, that pizza looks amazing.
We saw pie coming out of the oven. It was pretty yummy. What happens, I mean, when I said, can we do a fish tour? You didn't flinch. Is that because in your tours, as they are already, you hit enough fish spots that you're like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't go anywhere today that I don't go normally.
Okay.
So we were talking about this on a tour a little bit. There's actually probably more fish in New York than there is in some other cities, you know.
Well, where we just came from, City Island is like an entire community of fish restaurants.
Yeah, it's seafood joints wall to wall.
It's unbelievable.
It's crazy. So yeah, there's two kinds of people in City Island.
Yeah.
You got the City Islanders, the natives, they call themselves clam diggers.
Okay.
And then everybody else, they lovingly call muscle suckers. So,
which is what we definitely were.
Yeah, well, we were actually clam suckers and shrimp suckers today.
Right, right.
So we did a little, we did some little neck clams pasilipo, which is a white wine garlic sauce.
We met the most insane. I mean, this is like right out of a set from Sopranos, right?
Oh, you're talking about on Arthur Ave.
At Arthur.
Yeah, we went to Randazzo's on Arthur Ave.
Randazzo's.
And there was a guy. We're getting raw. What did we get? We got raw cherry stones. Raw oysters, and raw sea urchin, just standing on the street and, you know, putting some lemon on it.
So much fun.
And we met, what was the guy's name? I don't remember his name. He looked a lot like James Gandolfini and acted a lot like James Gandolfini. And it's like, I tell people this on my tour, it's like some of the people in this town are more like the movies than the movies.
Yeah.
You know, and you wouldn't believe it if you saw it in the movie. And you know, when you roll out in the checker, everybody like wants to talk to you, come out of the woodwork.
These guys would have made better
casts
for sure.
Right. It's almost like you'd be like, if you saw these guys in the movie, you'd be like, this is ridiculous. Nobody's like that. These
nobody guys were like, wears that much gold jewelry on
he was covered in jewelry. You gotta come to my house and have some pasta con sard. You come in my house.
Super de pesce.
Yeah.
Forget about his house. Come to my house.
Yeah. It was, and we're probably underdoing it. These guys were ridiculous. I mean, it sounds almost offensive how much, but
I'm all scared. Like, oh shit. Like, can we ask them if we can film? I'm sure they're mobsters and whatever. And they're like practically pushing their way towards the camera.
Yeah.
They're like, you got to talk to my cuz. Come here, cuz.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the beauty of driving around in the checker. Well, today we had the camera, but in general, driving around the checker, all the characters come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of the time in this town, it's, you know, everybody's busy. They got their blinders on. They can't be bothered. But they see that checker cab and it just sparks something from their past.
It's beautiful.
And they slow down and they walk up to you. They smile and wave.
You picked me up this morning. I was at an ice cream shop in Greenpoint waiting for you. And I see this muscle car with flames painted and it's like air filter sticking out of the hood, and then all of a sudden Dave pulls up next to it and the guys are shooting the shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are they like, is Dave gonna like stop talking to this guy? It was like totally these like muscle car maniacs.
Right. That was a 57 Chevy that just happened to be on the street.
And then he wanted to roll with you. He wouldn't even let you go by yourself. He wanted to like take up both sides of the road.
Right. Totally. Yeah. So the checker though, it's funny because the checker that I have, I actually have the last checker marathon that ever came off the assembly line in July of 1982.
Okay.
And it's the same frame from 1961. So it never changed from 61 to 82. So it actually looks like a 50s car because, you know, 61 was stylistically a lot like the 50s.
Right.
So it looks like a 50s. So people come up to me, they're like, oh, what's that, a 57? What's that, 58? I'm like, it's an 82. And then and drive away, just leave them confused.
But it's nice that it is, because even though it's got the lines of a 60s automobile, it is so smooth.
Yeah, it's smooth.
Well, and it stops when you want it to.
Yeah,
really
the brakes work.
Yeah.
I've had those worked on a couple times actually. But yeah, it's the same car. It's the same frame from 61 all the way to 82. They briefly changed it in 73, or they didn't briefly change it. They changed a very minor thing. They changed it from a beautiful chrome bumper into like a quarter inch thick steel girder in the front and back.
Nice.
But other than that, you can't tell the difference between a 61. And an 82.
Tell me about the guy who came up to the window and he was like, you kept asking him like,
oh, you mean not today, on another day.
No, yeah.
So yeah, I was in, are we allowed to?
You can say whatever you want.
It's okay.
Oh God, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Spew it.
All right. Spit it.
Spit it.
So I had some people eating some of my customers. I take them for Elvis's style fried pickles in Brooklyn Heights.
Mm.
I take them up to the Brooklyn Promenade, which has this beautiful view of the city. Mm. But there's no parking there. So I let them go out there, enjoy themselves, take pictures, and I just sit in my cab. So I'm sitting there alone.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy comes up looking in the back seat with a total shit-eating grin on his face. And he's looking in the back. And I'm like, hello, sir. And he's ignoring me. I'm like, oh, you used to drive a cab or something, you know? Nothing. I'm like, oh, you remember, you're looking at the jump seats. A lot of people want to look at the jump seats. That's what people remember.
The flat seats
in the back. Yeah, the seats that roll out in the back.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's just ignoring me. And then all of a sudden he snaps out of it and he looks at me. He's like, nah, first time I ever got laid was in the back seat of a checker cab. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he starts getting into the details. And he leans in my window and he's like, first touch of pussy I ever got. Backseat of a checker cab. I was like, all right, buddy. Okay. All right.
But that's, I'm just the cab driver.
Right. But that's the one I'm saying. I'm never going to talk with this guy normally. Yeah. That's the sort of thing that it just kind of brings people out. Sure. And it's kind of like, for me, in my life, it's like New York City is like a small town for me.
Right.
Everybody's coming up and talking to you. Everyone's smiling. Everybody's waving. It's kind of a fun way to live. And, you know, for a few hours on the tour, everybody gets to do that. It's funny because I take tourists, Sweden, but people are taking pictures of us, you know?
Right. Well, but you have become really known as a wealth of knowledge in the New York area for food. Like, I know you broed down with Anthony Bourdain for a few days.
Yep.
You had, who are some other folks?
Bourdain was the biggest. He was the biggest celebrity I had. We shot actually three episodes, me and Bourdain. We shot the New York episode, the Disappearing Manhattan episode, and then the Outer Boroughs episode.
And you told me, what was he? He was like on codeine or something?
First time I met him, he had done, I don't know if you guys out there, you're Bourdain fans, but if you watch the original New York episode, he goes to the trapeze school.
Okay.
So I met him the day after he went to the trapeze school. So his hands were raw and his muscles must have been all stretched out, I guess. And he had taken a lot of codeine. So when I kind of thought, the Bourdain has an attitude, you know, like punk rock.
Right,
like, you know, he's all like, you know, like I'm the punk rock chef, mm-hmm. CBGB shirt and all that. Mm-hmm. So I thought he was kind of going to be a punk, you know. And when I met him, he was just strung out on codeine. But he apologized though. And
was
then
he like leaning up against the side of the cab. I'm fucked up. Drive. Yeah. Just drive.
Yeah. And then he came out of it and he's a super nice guy. He's very gracious to his fans. I mean, he's freaking famous. People come up to him on the street. And he told me, he's like, Dave, look, I'm pretty famous in New York. He's like, go to like Peru.
Yeah.
And I walk down the street and there's, you know, everybody knows me because there's not as much competition. There's like his shows all over the world.
Really?
Travel Channel all over the world. Really? You know, like I get tours because of being on the show. I get tours from, Singapore and Belgium.
It's been cool. Like just since I've known you, I'll buzz you in now. You come down to my little lobster joint and like it's with like a Dutch family or a German family. Or somebody's on a hot date from Ireland. It's awesome.
It's pretty fun. I'll tell you, the reason I drive a cab at all is that it's sort of, I love traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And driving a cab in a way, especially in this city, mm-hmm. is like traveling, except they're coming to you. You know, when you travel, you know, you have the best thing about traveling, aside from the food, mm-hmm. which I'm also doing when mm-hmm. I'm out there these days, but it's talking with people and connecting with people. And I think that when people jump in a cab, that, you know, it's like a little moment of, you know, of interpersonal connection there.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, you know, it's a fun way to it's sort of, I when I can't actually get out there and travel, which I can't do that often, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully as much as I can, but it's, you know, driving the cab, people jump in the yellow cab, it's just random people. In the checker, it's my, you know, tourists, sometimes from Jersey or sometimes from Manhattan and sometimes from, from,
but it's cool because
Poland.
I mean, you know where you're going And so that kind of makes you the boss of the traveling, which is cool.
Right, right.
And as a guest, it's amazing because for me, it was like totally relaxing because I'm like, well, Dave knows how to get there. I don't have to worry.
Oh, you don't have to worry. Yeah, all the food is paid for on the tour.
Yeah.
Everything's just, you know, you don't take your wallet. You just take pictures and just chill out and you get to see the, you know, the checker has a lot of glass around.
In fact, somebody recognized you on our tour.
That's right.
Lady freaked out.
That's right.
She's like, you were our present. So we're giving you to our daughter.
Her daughter bought her and her husband a Famous Fat Dave eating tour for their anniversary present.
Right.
They hadn't scheduled it yet, but she's like, are you Dave? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, my daughter bought you for me.
My daughter.
She was born and raised in the Bronx and her husband was born and raised in Brooklyn. So we think we're probably going to do Queens on the tour, you know, in between.
Perfect.
But yeah, that was at Randazzo's. Yeah.
give us a rundown, at least for the fish tour. What were the spots we hit?
So today on the fish tour, we hit four spots. We went up, we started off, we went to Harlem,
yep.
right there, right in the heart of Harlem, 125th yep. Street. We went to a place called...
We were the whitest whiteies you have ever seen in that spot.
It's true. They just had a survey come out that for the first time in history, there's more white people than black people in Harlem, white. But if you look around, I think it's pretty obvious that that survey should have said there's more white people than black people who answer surveys in Harlem, because it's still
people,
black.
White people like surveys, I guess.
I don't know what it is, but yeah, I mean, we were the only white people in there. But the,
and that sandwich was unreal.
It was, yeah, we had a fried whiting sandwich at a place called Taste of Seafood, which is nicknamed...
I think they called it the fried whitey sandwich.
The fried whitey sandwich. Yeah, yeah, it's nicknamed the Servants of God, that place, yeah. because they're doing God's work. And it's fried whiting, which is sort of like fried catfish. They actually, they also do fried catfish there, but yep. fried whiting in Harlem is as popular, I would say, as fried chicken.
And what's the history of like fried fish in Harlem?
Well, in you know, the Harlem Renaissance, you've heard of the Harlem Renaissance, 1920s, a lot of Southern blacks moved up from the South for the economic opportunity. There was kind of a boom, you know, the Roaring 20s. The Roaring 20s. Yeah, the Roaring... I'm thinking the gay 90s. That's different.
Stay on track.
Yeah, so they came up there. You know, there's the whole jazz thing exploding. And they, you know, they brought with them their food.
The style, anyways.
The style of fried catfish is now fried whiting.
Yep.
So we just had white bread, fried whiting, three pieces of fried whiting, and tartar sauce and hot sauce. That's it.
It's simple. Just Wonder Bread. It is the most simple sandwich you've ever had.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And it's so good. It's they used to be across the street. Now they're in a nice big place. They used to be across the street in a tiny, tiny, ridiculously small little place, and people would wait an hour or two for a sandwich, which sucked for me because I can't take people on my tour. We're not going to wait for 2 hours on the tour. But now you could do it in about 10, 15 minutes. But in the old days, you know, a couple years ago, the locals claimed there must be crack in this fried whiting. Because why else am I waiting 2 hours in line? So you think...
There might have been crack in that sandwich. All I know is the next thing I look over and you're rapping to 80s. there may have just been some crack in there.
Yeah, it could have been.
So then there was...
White lines! Don't do it!
Let's hear it. Come on.
Well, what are we going to...
Give us a culinary rap.
Culinary rap? I got none of my own, though. It's all biting
rhymes. We don't care. Come on.
All right.
Spit it.
One... Day when I was sitting at Kentucky Fried Chicken, minding my own business, eating food and finger licking. This guy walked in looking strange and kind of funny, went up to the front with a menu and his money. He didn't walk straight, kind of side to side. He asked this old lady, yo, yo,
is this Kentucky Fried?
The lady said yes, smiled, and he smiled back. He gave a quarter and his order, small fried Big Mac. You be illin'. Yo, yo, what'd you tell that kid?
You be illin'.
Yeah! Amazing.
Run DMC is amazing. Run DMC is amazing.
We don't need our break song, man. We can do it right here. We got the breaks.
Those are the breaks. Bring it up, bring it up, bring it up, break down.
This is definitely the best episode of Catch a Cookie Eater ever. What happened after our whiting?
Okay, so experience? Then we left Harlem and we went up into the South Boogie Down Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to get some jerk shrimp near Yankee Stadium, but we were sort of running low on time. So hopefully we'll do that the next time around.
Yeah.
But we went right up to Arthur Ave. And right there on Arthur Ave, we went to this place called Randazzo's.
Yep.
Randazzo's Seafood. It's just a seafood shop.
Yeah.
And out front, it's a classic Arthur Ave eating tradition. For those of you out there who don't know, Arthur Ave is what Mulberry Street wishes it was.
Right.
It's old school, legit Italian restaurants, cheese shops.
There's no encroaching Chinatown to dilute the product.
Right, right. And like Mulberry Street.
Yeah.
Not to knock Mulberry Street, but I'm just saying.
It's a real deal up there.
It is totally the real deal. People come from all around. People come in from Jersey and
they're
Westchester.
Speaking Italian. Up
they're
there.
Speaking Italian. Yeah. And there's a lot of great stuff. But since we did a seafood tour today, we went for Randazzo's and we got some raw. We had two kinds of clams. We had the cherry stones.
Yep.
And
we learned a lot about
it. Yeah, the Mexican dude who was the shucker, he taught you a little trick on how to open the oysters.
He taps the oyster with the shucker, like with the knife in there,
yeah,
so that it breaks the seal, which I've never seen before.
Yeah, and he did it.
Boom.
Yeah, they're super impressive. Fast. And you're not that into sea urchin.
Of course, he was like Mexican or something.
Yeah.
The guys who hold the secrets in
If it weren't for Mexicans,
guys don't even know how to shuck it.
Right. No, if it weren't for the Mexicans, the restaurant industry in New York City would shut down. Yeah. So what else? Oh, and we had a sea urchin which you don't like that normally.
They're normally like too pungent for me.
Yeah, but this
it was great.
It's nice, right?
It was great.
Yeah, we just put a little lemon and
I wrongly put some hot sauce.
Yeah, they told me not to put hot sauce, but it's put a little lemon and vinegar.
Yeah,
and it wasn't bad with the hot
sauce.
Great.
It was great.
And you just eat it with a fork.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good. You don't need it like sushi style, like over rice with seaweed. You don't need that.
No.
Yeah.
And we were like racing to get back to the radio show, but so then we jumped in the cab.
We headed out to City Island, which you'd never been to before, which I find
so
surprising because that's where you should live.
I know, I will live there now.
Yeah, it's wall to wall seafood joints,
and between the seafood joints is like Bob's like nautical like junk, like anything ever want off of a boat, which is
bait and tackle shops, and it's an amazing place.
It's beautiful.
In Pelham Bay on Long Island Sound. Mm-hmm. It's only a mile and a half long and half a mile wide at the widest.
Yeah,
it's about 3 blocks, like Rockaway Beach. It's 3 blocks wide, you know,
but somehow funkier than Rockaway. It hasn't been developed wrongly.
If you talk to City Islanders, they'll tell you there's some stuff that they're not happy about going on up there. Huh. Oh, and City Islanders, yes, they're not called City Islanders. They call themselves clam diggers.
Right.
And
because they're the real deal. And they probably were back in the day. They were probably clam diggers. They may have been.
Right? Yeah. I don't know if they're still doing that. I don't know if they're still doing clam digging up there. Hmm. But so we hit two spots there. We went to a clam digger, local spot called Artie's Steak and Seafood for the Little Neck Clams Pasilipo. And then we went down and ate that on the water.
Which is what? Tell us about that. It's
About the restaurant or about the dish?
No, because the restaurant's kind of... It's like your typical
Muzak. Yeah. They pump in a good deal of Muzak. It's a nice sit down place. Mm. The place itself doesn't have that much character. The people in there have character.
And the clams had some character.
Yeah, and the clams themselves
do.
That's
an awesome dish.
Yeah.
And then we literally threw the shells to the seagulls, ate by the waterside, and then tossed these our discarded shells into awesome.
We're doing environmental work here. We're repopulating the waters around City Island,
the shore,
with clamshells.
Exactly.
And then we went to Tony's Pure restaurant that does. They are skilled in the fryolator arts.
Tony
and Tony's actually. Tony's Tony married Tony, and not Tony with Tony.
Uh-huh.
Her name is Tony. Interestingly. They actually both passed away in the last few years, but the place didn't die. It's an amazing place. Mm. They do all sorts of fried seafood there. So we got the fried shrimp, which are orange.
They are. I don't know how they are, but they are.
And I asked. I don't know. They told me that they could tell me, but they'd have to kill me.
Yeah.
And
you ate some tails on the way.
Delicious.
Back.
I never had a tail. I never used to eat the tail, but. But Ben here was saying, you know,
the
tail's the
best
part.
That I was able to teach Dave on this tour.
Eat the tails.
I felt like I was really lacking on info. But you seem to know a lot about not just the history of New York, but also I was impressed just the from a fish standpoint, how much you knew about New York.
You can't really know the history of New York without knowing about mm-hmm. the seafood mm-hmm. of New York. New York was originally, when the Dutch came about 400 years ago, they say that you could, when there was only the Lenape Indians here, that you could just reach your hand into the East River, into the Hudson River, and just pull out a fish. Mm-hmm. There were just extremely rich waters, which is why there were people here.
Yeah.
And then basically the Dutch had spread out. They went up the Hudson Valley into New Jersey, out onto Long Island, and they just started, the Native Americans just started killing them. Mm. So they all came back to Manhattan where they'd landed, and they stayed down in lower Manhattan, and they built a wall to protect themselves, Wall Street.
Right.
And they say that back then there were these oyster beds in Staten Island that the Lenape Indians had cultivated, and they were huge oysters. Imagine an oyster that you could hang up over an open fire and roast it and fillet it. So that's how. And then they say up
gagging,
until
gagging oysters.
Yeah. And then even up to 100, 150 years ago, they say that you would, when you sat down at a restaurant, you would eat 2 dozen oysters before you even looked at the menu. It's like breadsticks.
Yep.
And to this
and
day,
I think that's true. I don't even know if they were. I think they were served like peanuts. They didn't even charge you for them.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. They didn't even charge you.
Yeah.
And now they're.
It made you drink. Obviously, they're so salty. Yeah, actually, exactly. That's all we've been doing since we got back. We're like, because we had so much raw seafood. It was just like as much liquid as we can get into our bodies.
Yeah. I would say to this day, if you look at a menu at a nice restaurant in New York City, there are more fish dishes than there are in a lot of American cities because of this history. Now, they're not coming from these waters anymore,
right.
But it's the tradition that's come from it. There's a place like La Bernardin.
Mm-hmm. If you can afford it.
If you can afford it, which I can't. I haven't been.
We recommend it highly.
Yes, it's great. It's unbelievable.
Take us with you, because none of us have ever been.
But I've heard great things.
Yeah,
I would love. I mean, there's a couple things I'd love to eat at Rao's. Mm-hmm. You know Rao's? Mm-hmm. I'd love to eat there up in East Harlem, and I'd love to eat at La Bernardin. Those are
two
places.
So why don't we just do Dave's high-end food tours?
That'd be, I don't know, maybe I should do that, actually,
sponsors.
You know? And
we
then I get to eat, and I get to eat it.
Exactly.
That's why I do what I do. It's for the
comes
food.
And asks me for like a quarter of a, he's like, can you cut that lobster roll in half?
Right. Well, that's the thing, because on my tours, you're eating so much, you don't want to fill up at any one stop.
Yeah.
So if you do it right, what I tell my customers is that don't imagine it like you are sitting down to Thanksgiving dinner and you're just getting fuller and fuller and fuller. And then passing out.
Mm-hmm.
You're eating and then you're driving and you're eating and you're driving. You're not eating a whole dish. You're eating a half or a quarter of a dish.
Right.
You know, when we get a roast beef hero, you're eating a third of it. When we get a lobster roll from the Underground Lobster Pound, you're eating a half of it. Now, I tell everybody, you can get seconds. You could get thirds.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be bashful. Ask for fourths. It's been done. But, you know, you have to pace yourself. Because I do a minimum 2 hours, but I've done 8-hour tours.
It's so hard to do, though. You're like, you're just like the best whiting sandwich you've ever had in your whole life. And you're like, Dave's like, you should probably put down half of that. And
right.
You're like, no, I don't want to leave it behind.
Yeah. But it's funny in a weird way. It's gluttony, but at the same time, it's like this weird, for me especially, it's turned into this strange like Zen exercise in self-restraint.
You're just never getting full or trying not to get
full. Right. You're trying to, if you do it right, you can make yourself more hungry as you go because you're wetting your appetite without giving it enough food to bed it back down.
Mm-hmm.
So you could get yourself hungrier as you go, and then hopefully by the end, you know, if you're planning on, let's say, 3 hours, you're planning on like 5 hours, at the end you're stuffed,
right?
But then people think, oh, I'm never gonna eat again, I'm not gonna eat dinner tonight. I tell them, you're definitely gonna be hungry, because you're training your belly to expect food every 15 to 20 minutes. So I'm gonna drop you off and you're gonna be like all full, and then 15, 20, maybe half an hour, your belly's gonna be like, food please,
right?
You know, it's stretched out, it's ready to eat. It's a different way of eating. But probably not the healthiest way of eating, but it's definitely a different way of eating.
I was full by the time we had our last, but that's because we knew we weren't going to hit all our stops.
Yeah.
So we were going for it.
I think next time we should head down. We'll do that place with the live octopus.
Oh yeah,
in Flushing. I can't remember the name of that. Was on Bourdain's Outer Boroughs episode.
That's a Korean place, I think.
Yeah, it's Korean barbecue, and they barbecue
live
octopus. I've been there. It's good.
I'm gonna feel sorry for them.
I felt bad. Octopi are very smart.
I know.
Actually, so I felt kind of bad when I saw it happening, but it was delicious. I mean, it was very very tasty. I mean, he shouldn't have been so tasty if he wanted to. If he wanted to live,
should have been a little smarter, octopus.
Yeah. Well, how'd you let yourself be so good?
So then, where else would we go?
I think there's a place called Clemente's Maryland Crab House.
Yeah.
That's down in Sheepshead Bay, right on the water. And I'm a Marylander, and they'll do Maryland style crabs.
Wait, back up. This is the craziest thing. You listen to Dave, and you're like, hold on, you're not even from New York.
No, I'm not from New York.
How the hell does somebody have the wealth of knowledge that you do?
Well, listen, this is the way E.B. White, he wrote Charlotte's Web.
Yeah.
He also wrote a book called Here is New York. It's about have you read this book? It's amazing. If for all you guys out there, if you're interested in New York City.
Just don't confuse E.B. Webb with the porn stars that you were talking about.
No. Different guy. No, E.B. White wrote Charlotte's Web, but he also wrote Here is New York. And he said in this book, which is only about 50 pages long, and it really captures the spirit of New York in 1948, but it's still entirely true. He said there's three kinds of New Yorkers. There's one there is the commuter. He says that's the worst kind. They come and they go and they don't give and they don't take and they just sort of crowd the city. And he said, two, there's the native New Yorker, which is great. But, you know, a lot of the time, I'm sure you've come across this is like, you know, they don't have this sense of discovery. You know, mm-hmm. they're sort of like, you know, a little jaded, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit like, I'm from here. You know, like, yeah, you don't tell me, I tell you, you know, like, oh, hey, look at this guy, you know, like, and like, I love them. But, you know, they're not the ones who are giving the city its energy mm-hmm. In terms of the sense of discovery. And he said the third kind of New Yorker, which is what E.B. White was, and which is what you are and what I am, is the transplant, the immigrant.
Sure.
And those are the ones who got here and were totally wowed by it, and I'm still wowed by it, and I'm still, there's no way to know everything here, right. You can't possibly, it's always changing, it's mm-hmm. gigantic, mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, I kind of feel like, you know, I've made it my beeswax to go out there and find mm-hmm. all there is, all the best stuff. So I'm always talking to people, I'm always interested in finding the, not necessarily the new places, the old places that I don't know about, right. Are usually the best spots.
Right.
You know, the trendy spots like that are opening up in Chelsea, sometimes those are good, mm-hmm. but then I'll tell you, check back in 6 months or sure. a year and the quality's gone downhill. Yeah, it's those old true. Places that have been around for 100 years. Yeah. Those are the amazing places. It's been here for 75 years and you didn't know it was there the whole time. Mm-hmm. And then you go in there and you're like, oh my God, this right. place, I can't believe I spent my whole life not eating at this place. And those are my spots.
It's another reason that it's fun to go with you is because these people know you now. So
some of them.
So it means that, you know, you're getting your food pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
They're making a special effort to have it tasting the best they possibly can.
On their best behavior.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And it's fun because, you know, you get to hang out. Like I take people to Steve's Authentic Key Lime Pies, mm-hmm. let's say, in Red Hook.
And he's a hard guy to hang out with.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fisherman.
You can't find him.
Yeah, he's a fisherman. He's okay. a great fisherman. You okay. should talk with this guy. He's yeah. an amazing guy. And he's from the Keys, and he always makes an effort if he's around mm-hmm. to he takes naps often because he gets there very early in the morning. But if he's awake and he's there and he's not down in Mexico buying his key limes, he always makes an effort to come out and hang out with my customers and talk with them and everything. And you'd love him. The guy fishes off the pier in Red Hook, and he's got all these pictures of huge, you know, like 4-foot bass and yeah. stuff, like unbelievable stuff.
And it's just like two things that I think are cool. One, I think you're absolutely right about the people who sometimes not just make the flavor of the city, but celebrate the flavor yeah. of the city are transplants a yeah. lot of the times.
I agree. It's yeah. the ones that are making the flavor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes those are often are the locals, the born and raised. But yeah, the transplants are the ones celebrating.
We're the ones
more.
Making sure that doesn't go anywhere.
Right.
There's it's so good.
Right. It's yeah. not the I don't like the jaded attitude. I'm not mm-hmm. saying all natives are jaded. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying all anybody is anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying when you do come across a jaded native, it you sort of say to yourself, I don't want to be like that. Sure. I don't want to be jaded. The city is changing
yeah.
all the time, and I want to keep up with it, you right. know?
So how does a guy as well versed in food as you are end up buying his crab legs from Costco?
I gotcha.
That's
what I'm doing after this. I've never been to Costco
okay.
before.
Okay.
And I did go one time and I saw a huge pile of King Crab Legs.
Yeah.
And I love that show Deadliest Catch. Mm-hmm. And I love King Crab Legs.
Yeah.
So
thanks to Costco's the catch is gonna be dead.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's another thing that we're talking about is like the, you know, it's seafood is they're saying something like 90% of the seafood's already gone.
Right.
So you know, there's two attitudes you could have. You could say, oh God, we better preserve this stuff and not eat so much of it, mm-hmm. or you could say better get it while you can.
Right. That's the attitude of the show. I think the show is obviously it's like, well, how can you be promoting the longevity of the seas by telling everybody to
right.
go out and eat seafood?
Right.
But my hope is that by telling people to eat seafood, you can sort of teach them a responsible way to do it.
There's certainly a sustainable way. Let's yeah. go back. The Lenape Indians had it down. They were here for thousands of years and they yeah. didn't run out.
We have to start by having less kids. That's my first.
Okay.
It's not a very popular plan of attack, but it really would help. It really would.
Right, right. Yeah.
Guys, we're going to probably have to wrap this one up pretty soon, but all I can tell you is Dave is one of the most enjoyable, charismatic people to these tours. I was loving every minute of it. We had the old school rap session that lasted at least we covered all the bridges with old school. And you're on your way to fixing for Passover dinner. But tell me how your mom really duped you on that.
I wouldn't say that she duped me, but I told my mom that it was physically possible to have 10 people in my apartment in Soho. Mm-hmm. My cousins and my aunt and my brother and my sister-in-law and my niece and nephew and my fiance and her. And I said, physically possible. And then now I find out that she's saying it's very important to David to have a Seder in his house. Very important. It's important to me and I love Seders, but all I said was that it was physically possible to fit that many people in there.
You never said, Mom, it's very important for me to have a proper traditional Seder.
No, I love my proper traditional Seders, but no, I mean, it might have been a better idea to have it at my brother's place up in Westchester now that I'm thinking about it. But we're doing it in awesome. Soho, and it's going to be awesome. And we're getting catered from Zabar's, and we're nice. Getting, I already bought the pickle guys, horseradish. I used to be a pickle man at Gus Pickles.
Amazing.
And one of my jobs around Passover time was to, you know, shave down the horseradish and put it through the cheese grater, actually an electric cheese grater from like about 100 years ago. Yeah. And and make fresh horseradish. Awesome. And it's I'm psyched for it. It's going to be good.
Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on the show and taking me on the tour, and see if maybe you can make room for 11 at the Seder.
Oh, okay. Come on over and let's do the tour again. Let's do the tour. Okay. Let's do the second half. We're going to do the second half someday
soon.
Sweet. All right.
You heard it here. Catch it, cook it, and eat it. That was Famous Fat Dave in the house.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos.